You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There are countless ways that Michigan connects with Ontario. Of course, the Detroit-Windsor Tunnel, Ambassador Bridge, Blue Water Bridge. They're obvious connections, letting us crisscross the borders for business and recreation. Or maybe like me, you've got family ties. My mother grew up on a farm in Guelph, Ontario. And there's music that has been reaching across these borders since 1957, the International Symphony Orchestra, a semi-professional group of Canadian and American instrumentalists and singers. Its music director and conductor, Douglas Bianchi, is with us. Now, welcome. It's so good to have you here.
Well, thank you.
What better person to do this kind of cross-border effort, because you have a cross-border story that's in your own life, don't you? From Canada to the U.S.?
Yes, well, I was born in Windsor. Mm-hmm. My dad was Canadian. My mother comes from Preston, England. Well, you know, in the late 50s, there was the recession. So I actually got a job at General Motors in Turnstead, downtown Detroit. So every Sunday after church, you know, back to the farm outside of Windsor with my grandparents.
You have straddled the border in your own life. And what is it that brought you to the International Symphony Orchestra, knowing you're already busier, director of bands and a conducting professor at Wayne State?
Well, with anything in life, you can get pigeonholed, you know, like, so I'm good at bands, I'm good at marches, I'm good at this kind of, you know, whatever. And I guess after a while, you want to prove to people, you know, I really do like opera. I really do like symphonies. You know, it's like there's more here than meets the eye.
So it gives a chance to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So how many musicians and singers are in the International Symphony Orchestra?
Let's see. The choir's around 35, I believe. Okay. And then the orchestra is give or take about maybe 60 to 65. It depends on some of the literature.
And is there a sense as far as what percentage are U.S. and what percentage are Canadian, or does it vary?
Well, it's probably split right down the middle. You know, our offices are in Sarnia. And so we like to have Canadian content and, mm-hmm. and let you have to perform in the soloist. But we do try to make sure that when we replace people, you know, like
sure.
kind of even it out.
Yes.
So there's actually sections in the orchestra where they're all Canucks or Yanks, mm-hmm. you know. So they're all over the place.
And is that also where you rehearse?
No. Okay. We actually rehearse on the American side at St. Clair County Community College.
So there is very much a sense of back and forth.
Oh, yes, definitely. We have like a 6-concert series. Each concert is given on each side of the border.
Well, I'm thinking of times in having spent a lifetime crossing either at the tunnel or the bridge or heading up to the Blue Water Bridge sometimes to visit family. You never know when there's going to be a great big backup at the border, as you laugh ruefully. Have you had any?
Oh, my Lord, yes. Well, actually, I was told you should get one of those Nexus passes.
Yes,
you
know. With all these musicians and singers going back and forth.
Yeah, some do that. Seriously, there's times where like it'll be 5 o'clock in the afternoon and I've gone right over the bridge. But we had a concert in January, our annual Celtic concert's a big one. There was something at the border the night before. So on the American side, we're getting ready for the concert, and we've got some of the Canadians are kind of in a panic. So the next night, figured, well, that's not going to happen again. Oh, my Lord, I think I got there just about 5 minutes before downbeat. But we had already received text messages from our cello section. Well, I've been here for an hour and a half, and I'm still on the bridge. So we had to, you know, pedal a little bit. But our audiences, they kind of expect that, too. This is the only time I think we've actually delayed, but it was a Celtic concert. Our soloist, our group called the Steel City Rollers. And so they just said, well, yeah, we'll go and do a number or two, warm up the group. So there you go.
I was going to say, if you had a Celtic group, they could have gone all
night.
And
when the rest of the cellies showed up, we went on with the show. But it can be a little, like even, well, the first concert when I was auditioning, there was a snowstorm. I left 3 hours earlier from Detroit because I knew the weather would be bad. And I actually got there an hour late. And I remember being at the border and the customs official was saying, well, this is a little late for our rehearsal. It's like, yes, I know. So let me get going. Here I am already. They had say 30. So I thought, well, that's the end of that job, you know.
Now, where do you draw from to get your musicians?
Port Huron and Sarnia area have their musicians local. And then we get a big contingency from the Detroit metropolitan area that's more closer to the Detroit side. And then we get some fine players that actually come from London, Ontario area. Now, the director previous to my tenure taught at Ontario Western in London. And so he was the director there and then would sometimes have the London students perform. And I work at Wayne State, so every once in a while if we're hard-pressed for a sub, I get to hire some of my students. So
absolutely. And I've got to wonder what it means for non-professional players, for amateur players, to sit alongside and play with professionals. I'm thinking back in my French horn playing days in school, it would have been very thrilling to play with a professional.
Right. Well, I think that's one of the draws. I mean, playing next to a professional, you can imagine that's kind of thrilling, except that a professional musician kind of has a certain code of conduct in rehearsal, of which they're at times completely oblivious. For example, the section leader is allowed to, like, raise their hand and ask a question to the maestro, let's say, because you're a little confused as to whether it should be staccato, legato. Like, the gesture isn't making sense to the musician, so you want to ask a question. Or, I think there's a note mistake there, whatever it is. Now, the pecking order means the section leader does the questioning. And then you, as a section player, you just do whatever you're told. Where amateurs, so they just raise their hand, like, it's like, not your place, you know?
Yeah.
So those are some of the vicissitudes of working with that kind of an ensemble. However, a lot of people have worked very hard in their life, and they wanted to be musicians when they grew up, but maybe because of family situations,
sure,
finances, things like that.
Life leads you in
right,
another direction.
And so why shouldn't you be able to play? I think community orchestras really serve a purpose that way. Now, ours is actually semi-professional. We have a solid group of professional musicians that are not ringers. They play all the time. So this gets to be a little dicey when your ticket prices are almost like $30, $40 Canadian. You know, they say you have to give a quality product. That's really our goal for Port Huron and Sarnia, because if you live in those communities, why can't you have good arts programs and a good symphony and museums? I mean, really, you live there. Just because you say, well, I really do want to live an hour and a half away from a fine symphony orchestra, I don't mind taking the trip. No. This is where your life found you, and you're entitled to good art, too, new music.
You know, I know your season finale is coming up.
Yes.
Give us a hint of what will be on the program as you wrap up your season.
Well, we're going to do Tchaikovsky's famous Pathetique, and that's quite a challenge. And talking about community players, that piece challenges everybody because, as we'd say in the business, it's quite a blow. But more importantly, it's a piece that has a very definite metaphysical bent, existential bent. This is not just a, hey, we're doing some Tchaikovsky, because you make an 1812 overture, we got canons at the end, you're going to love it. So the challenges in rehearsal is to make sure we get everything right, but that we also say something with the music, because this piece does have things to say. I read once something by Confucius that man loves a beauty more than truth. So when you're on the podium, you know, truth, you got to get the right notes, the right rhythms, you got to get all that together. However, sometimes you can get everything right and not say anything. So big challenge there.
That's not the way you want to end your season.
No. But I understand ticket sales are really going well. And I was surprised last year, you know, we had this marvelous executive director, her name is Anne Brown. And we were playing the season, I was surprised where she said, well, you know, the last time we did the Tchaikovsky Six, it was quite a hit. Our audiences love it. I said, well, I mean, it's a very likable piece, but you wouldn't expect community orchestras to say, well, let's go there and let's see how we can bring in an audience. But already there's lots of excitement. So it gives you an idea of the quality that people seek in their lives like that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So, yeah. Anyway, on the other side, we have an overture by Sir Ernest McMillan, first conductor of the Toronto Symphony back in the day. And then we have some brass features. So our brass players, their lips are going to hurt after this weekend.
So it's April 26th at 7:30 at the Imperial Theater in Sarnia, and then April 27th, 7:30 p.m. at the McMorran Theater in Port Huron.
Right.
And you can absolutely go to the ISO.org and get all the information on the upcoming program, and then keep in touch for the upcoming season.
Yes, definitely.
Well, thank you so much, as we've talked to Douglas Bianchi, who is music director and conductor of the International Symphony Orchestra. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.